outsourcing processes and outsourcing processes, products and business. What are the semi-finished, intermediate and final products that the organization manufactures? So one has to look at what is it that you are making, what are the key in-house processes? That means what processes you are doing in-house, do they really need to be done in-house or can you outsource it? So if you are actually making semi-finished products or intermediate, do you really need to make it or can you outsource it? And can you add value? I know of some specialty chemical manufacturers, they buy the polymers or polymer emulsions from the regular companies, reputed manufacturers, and they make some modifications to those products. And a product that they buy normally for 100 rupees a kg, after the modification or value addition, the same product starts selling for 2000 rupees. So this is the thing, do you really need to manufacture everything yourself, or you can only make the final product with your intellectual property? That is a question to be answered. What are the key competencies, knowledge and skill of the organization? So again, if the knowledge of the organization, the key competency is in the formulation of the final product which sells for 2000 rupees, then should you really be actually indulging in manufacturing a product which is available in the market for 100 rupees a kg? Which production process or parts of them that can be considered or evaluated for outsourcing? Very simple. I'm from the above example, you can answer that. What are the non-financial advantages that may accrue to the organization from the outsourcing? Because if simply by processing a material, you are able to add value and generate value for the company and the stakeholders, should you really invest in the back-end processes? What are the drawbacks or limitations of outsourcing? So in your case, are there any drawbacks of outsourcing? One has to evaluate that also. If it involves some trade secret, etc., that could be a drawback, because then your outsourcing partner may actually come to know some of your trade secrets and he can be your competition. Whether outsourcing is going to be a long-term decision for the organization. So like I said, are you outsourcing till such time that your requirement is big enough, it can justify investment into new capacities or additional capacities, or is it going to be a permanent feature? How the relationship with the supplier will be managed? So are you going to be looking at it as a long-term, or it's going to be a stopgap arrangement? Is it going to be a seasonal thing? So for example, you are not able to meet the demand during the peak season. So are you going to be outsourcing only during the peak season, or it's going to be an ongoing affair? So selection of subcontractor and contract manufacturer, whether the potential subcontractor have been identified appropriately. So even while we say that the outsourcing contractor or the subcontractor, it's a very useful concept, the selection, whether you have identified the correct subcontractor correctly, whether the prospective contract manufacturer has their quality management process certified. So are they a manufacturer who have a quality management system? Is their quality management system certified? Do they have proper processes in control? Because you are going to rely on their quality, and if they are not making the right quality, you are going to take a hit on your brand value or on your brand image. Does the contract manufacturer a professional in his approach? So we have had instances where a contract manufacturer has started making the product and selling it in the market, or they have, even when there is some rejection, they have channeled the rejection into the market. And you will find this happening in the OEM spare market, where in the market sometimes the OEM outsourcing partner will actually start selling the product in the market. So it needs to be seen, whether he's a professional in his approach, or will they, you know, resort to any hanky-panky methods? Does the contract manufacturer consider your organization as an important client? So do they value the relationship, and, you know, are you a significant partner for them? Or if they are a very big company, they may really not care for you. What is the reliability level of the subcontractor? How reliable are they? Will they honor their commitments? How the contractor is managing the business? So today, how is he managing his business? Is he doing it efficiently? Is it running it like a pastime? What is it? So is he going to be taking your business seriously? Is he really going to support your business the way you are expecting him to? Is the subcontractor financially well managed and he's solvent? So it should not so happen that he goes insolvent, because in that case, your operations will be in a limbo. So these are important questions to be answered. Quotation and review. So request for quotation from the subcontractor. Evaluate the quotation on multiple parameters. Whether the comparison of cost for in-house manufacturing and outsourcing has been evaluated properly. Very important question, because it may so appear that at one point of time you say, okay, outsourcing is going to be beneficial. But after a while, if you realize that somebody has made a mistake and outsourcing is not coming out to be beneficial as compared to the in-house manufacturer, that can be a big shock. So there has to be an audit of the working which has been done to ensure that there are no surprises and there are no shocks. Is there any risk perceived with the financial as well as non-financial advantages? The non-financial advantages will be leakage of technology, or, you know, the subcontractor or the outsourcing partner actually approaching the market on their own, etc. Ordering and testing. So, is the contract documentation formalities completed? Have you completed the formality for the contract documentation? So all the terms and conditions, all the quality requirement, all the delivery requirement, are they clearly specified? Are they understood? Has the test order given to the subcontractor successfully completed? So have you tested the product? Has he produced the test order and given it to you? Have you evaluated the test order to see whether it is meeting your requirement or not? Has the result of test order evaluated comprehensively? And when we say comprehensively, means we are testing it thoroughly to see that it actually meets all the criteria and all the quality requirements. So now we come to the risk and challenges in outsourcing decisions. So the first one is inadequate control over the outsourced arrangement. At times you may have a representative who is located or stationed at the outsourcing partner. It may not always be possible, and you have to rely on the systems and the management of the outsourcing partner. You can have your representative with the smaller partners, but if it's a big company where you are doing the outsourcing, it may not be possible. Clear-cut, communication, specifications have to be laid down. All the test methods, how material will be tested, checked, how the records will be maintained, has to be clearly defined. Conflict in relationship, and, you know, any relationship, there are possibility of a conflict. So clearly, you have to define how the conflict will be resolved. But this is a risk that you can actually have a conflict. Many a times you agree to the terms initially. Over a period of time, the outsourcing partner will come back and say that the terms that you have given him are not workable and that you need to renegotiate the terms. So this is another risk that you always run. Concern over quality of the product. So yes, many a times people, we have found that local companies which used to outsource components, you know, from China, etc., over a period of time, there were issues with the product, and suddenly some of the quality product may be visible immediately. There are certain products which may come over a period of time in terms of serviceability or durability. Loss of intellectual property of the buyer firm, So if you are sharing some intellectual property to the outsourced firm in terms of the composition, formulations, etc., this can be lost. And as I have mentioned, you know, there have been cases where the outsourcing partner actually starts selling the product under a different name or so using your intellectual property. And sometimes it's very difficult to prove this and even stop it. Inherent risk of outsourcing in a global environment. So there are certain inherent risks as well, and these risks are, you know, similar to this intellectual property, etc. So, you know, especially when there is a non-confirming product, how do you stop this kind of a product going to the market with your brand, brand logo or brand name, etc. Also, they become, you know, the spurious or the duplicate products. They may be launched in the market, and they can actually tarnish your image if a substandard product makes its way into the market. Capacity constraint at the contract manufacturer. So, you know, while you have a capacity constraint and you have gone to the contract manufacturer, but suppose he has a capacity constraint, what do you do? So you need to be very careful that you choose a contract manufacturer who has sufficient capacity and who can scale up his capacities also if required in the near future. Parting with flexibility and responsiveness. So sometimes when you are outsourcing the operations, then you are also parting with the flexibility and the responsiveness that you may have in-house, because you are adding further certain lead time and there are needs for communication, you know, whenever there is any change in planning, etc. Challenges in monitoring the supplier performance. So, as I said, because he becomes a separate entity, he has to be treated like just a supplier, and you have to monitor his performance in terms of quality, in terms of delivery, in terms of, you know, the other parameters. Often there is a need for change in the mindset of the buyer company. So even, you know, when you are switching to the outsourcing, you need to wear a different hat. You have to accept certain realities when you're going for outsourcing. Loss of critical skills and tacit knowledge to the contract manufacturer. So sometimes, you know, you outsource your operations. These are the skills which are available in-house, but over a period of time, as people retire or leave the organization, those skills are completely lost. So this is one of the risks also of outsourcing, you know. Absence of shared vision of the contract manufacturer with that of the buyer company. So many a times the strategic vision of the buyer organization, or you know, the objective of the buyer organization may not be shared by the contract manufacturer. The contract manufacturer may be treating the orders as just a means of, you know, filling his capacities or earning money. So in such a case, you may find that he may not keep pace with the company's specifications, requirements, or the growth expectations. Cultural differences adversely affecting the delivery of product or services. So formulating an agreement with contract manufacturer, what are the key aspects? So first is duration and term of the contract, very important. So normally the duration has to be a short term. So it leaves you with the flexibility, you know, to go to another contract manufacturer if the technology changes, when your model changes, if the, you know, the kind of equipment requirement changes. So it could be also that you may enter into a long-term agreement if you are into a field, you know, something like a garment or apparel, where, you know, the technology more or less remains the same, the design keeps on changing, where you really don't have to worry about, you know, changing the suppliers or so. Testing procedures. So clearly how the product will be tested, on what quality parameters, specifications required by the buyer. So what are your specifications and how they are going to be checked, how they will be complied with. Lot quantities expected and the standard size. So what are the standard sizes of the lot or the batches which are expected by you? Because if you are going to get the material in very, very small lots, etc., the traceability, etc., may become a challenge. Yield expectations and treatment of normal losses. So if you are, you know, for the contract manufacturer, you are supplying the raw material or the intermediates, what is the kind of a yield that you expect? Because this can also affect your economics. If he is giving you the yield that is expected, it's fine. If he gives you better yield, then it's a bonus. But if he is giving you less yield, then one has to address these things. Also, if there are losses or wastage in the process, how are these to be tackled? And if the losses or waste or rejections are high, then this can become a cause of concern. So these have to be very clearly addressed in the contract. Acceptable tolerances and deviations. So what are the tolerances within which the specifications or the parameters have to perform, and what are the maximum deviations which are allowed? Price components and important deductions or adjustments, very common sense. Incentives, what incentives you'd like to give them for performance on various parameters. Payment terms agreed. So what are the commercial terms which have been agreed, clearly have to be spelled out. Inclination of the buyer firm for capital expenditure. So are they willing to make a capital expenditure? Clearly this has to be spelled out. Expectations of the buyer firm from the contract manufacturer with respect to capital investments. So if the contract manufacturer also has any expectations of capital investments to be made by the buyer firm, this clearly has to be spelled out. That means if the buyer firm is obliged to make any investments in the contract manufacturer. Minimum quantity of supply and maximum level of business requirement. So suppose the contract manufacturer makes an investment, and he does it based on assumption of certain volumes or quantities. And if those quantities don't fructify, then he is not going to be able to recover his investments. The return on his investments will be much lower. So these have to be clearly specified. What are the minimum quantities that you will be off-taking? And what is the maximum level of business which is required? So he has to also be able to commit what is the kind of volumes that he should be able to deliver. Procedures to handle lot rejections. We already talked about it, that in case of any rejections, how will it be handled? Because as I said, it should not so happen that the rejected material finds its way to the market and it actually, kills your brand image in the market. Situation leading to termination, including expiry of the contract period. So any contract has to have an exit clause from either side. So either party can opt out, giving certain notice period, but there could be certain conditions that if these conditions are breached, then the contract will stand breached. That means, you can break away the contract. So if there are any unethical practices, etc., there are provisions which are provided to say that the contract can no longer continue. Review period, frequency, and the key parameters. So how you will be reviewing the contract, what is the frequency of the review, and what are the key parameters on which the contract will be reviewed. Forecast and purchase orders, inspections. So how will you be providing the forecast? What is the kind of accuracy that you guarantee on the forecast? How the purchase orders will be released, and what will be the inspection methods which will be adopted? Raw material purchase and vendor qualification criteria. So whether they will be purchasing raw material on their own, or you will be actually asking your raw material suppliers to supply raw material to them as per a contracted rate. Because many a times, whenever you have contract manufacturers, you still want to have control over the raw material cost. So you will actually ask your raw material suppliers to supply material. The orders are placed directly by the contract manufacturer, payment are also made by them, but the rates are contracted and fixed by the buyer organization. So raw material purchase and vendor qualification criteria. So technical transfer, knowledge transfer. So in case any technical or knowledge transfer has to be done, how it will be done, what will be the technologies which will be shared with them, There may be even a non-disclosure agreement where, you know, you sign an agreement that this information will not be leaked, the intellectual property, if it is involved, this will not be leaked to outsiders. Process changes and continuous improvement. So, as and when the need arises, you may have to amend or change the processes, and also you are looking for certain continuous improvement in terms of the quality, in terms of the yield, etc. And in case of a dispute, how will the dispute be resolved, whether it will be through escalation, arbitration, if it goes to a litigation, where you will litigate, which city, which country, etc. These needs to be established. Essential features of contract manufacturing: it is a process of establishing a working agreement between two companies. Very, very plain and simple. In the agreement, one company assumes responsibility for custom-made products for another customer entity. So the contract manufacturer is going to make something for you. So he is going to make a custom-made product as per your requirement, your specifications. The client customer does not have to maintain manufacturing facility. So client is yourself, the buyer. You don't need to maintain any manufacturing facilities, purchase raw material or hire labor in order to produce the finished goods. So you can also have this arrangement where you say you are free to buy the raw material from wherever you like, provided the quality requirements are met. So to produce the finished goods. Offers opportunities to brand owners for improving their bottom lines through the conversion of fixed cost to variable cost. We already saw this, that instead of having your own in-house facilities, which actually are a fixed cost, you are passing off the equipment, etc., to the contract manufacturer, and you pay him based on the quantities or the products that he delivers. So it turns into a variable cost. Make or buy analysis: what are the key factors? So one of the key factors is cost. Which one is going to be more economical, making it in-house or buying it? Risk involved in the outsourcing. So is there any risk involved if you're going to buy it from outside in terms of quality or in terms of specifications, etc.? Availability or limitation on the in-house skills. So whether you have these skills available inside, in-house, or even if you're going to buy it, is this kind of a skill going to be available with the outsourcing partner or the supplier? Knowledge and expertise of the outsource partner. So whether they have the knowledge and expertise to provide the product that you're looking for. Sharing of confidential information and other matter with the outsource partner. So if you are going to even share some of the know-how for making of this product, you have to be careful about whether this information can be leaked. Another important thing is when you're talking of the cost, make or buy analysis, important thing is it's not only about the landed cost. Please remember that when you are making a component in-house, you have you are utilizing your capacities. There is a certain depreciation from the equipment which is getting justified when you actually use it for production purpose. Now if you stop making it in-house, are you going to be using the labor, etc., for a more productive work? If not, it's not a saving, it will continue to be a cost. So while you may think that buying the material from outside is going to be cheaper, it may not be true, because you already are incurring the cost. Maybe your labor who were making this the component or a product in-house will be sitting idle, and you will still be outsourcing it from outside thinking it is cheaper, but you are incurring a cost. So you also have to look at how the fixed cost absorption when you make it on your own is going to compare when you're going to outsource it. So sometimes it may so appear that you make it in-house, it seems to be slightly costlier, but in doing so, you are utilizing your labor and your machines, which is actually coming out cheaper in comparison when you do a make or buy analysis. So service outsourcing fosters inefficiency in processes and innovation. Sourcing initiatives generally focus on eliminating inefficiencies and controlling the cost. Services outsourcing will be mainly in terms of, you know, the consultancy services, audits, training, etc. So this is one of the indirect spend which most organizations focus on, and this is outsourced. Models like insource, outsource, captive, and offshore, outsourcing decisions are also impacted by regulation. So sometimes, you know, the regulations decide whether you can really insource, outsource, etc. I don't think we have much issue here. Yes, if you are going to outsource services, you know, especially from overseas, there could be some RBI regulations, etc., with respect to payment of the forex. Another thing important is that if you are outsourcing services, then TDS will be deducted in the payments that you make to the overseas partner. So this has to be very clearly specified, otherwise you can get into a conflict, because we have this double taxation treaty, etc. So whenever you buy a product, you can make a payment to the overseas partner without any hassles. But when it's a service, then there is a TDS, a tax deduction at source, which is to be made in India, which is, I think, around 10% or so. So maximum savings with low risk. According to leading research firm Gartner, outcome-based pricing aided by platform-based delivery models and cloud computing applications are becoming more the norm and will soon overtake traditional T&M and fixed price commercial constructs. This is a fairly statement. Transitioning to the outsource model with minimum disruption to the business. The global sourcing manager should ensure that in case the outsourcing decision is taken, the transition should happen with minimum disruptions. Common sense again. Nobody wants a disruption, and you have to plan for it. The transition has to be smooth so that there are no interruptions to the business. Service outsourcing achieve accelerated results and avoid any pitfalls. Business needs are very dynamic in nature, and it is the endeavor of the global sourcing managers to achieve the accelerated results through service outsourcing and protect the business from likely pitfalls. Fairly simple. It's a state statement. It's a wish statement. We now come to Industry 4. So what does Industry 4 actually talk about? Talks about interconnection. So you're talking of Internet of Things and Industrial Internet of Things, where machines are interconnected and information about their performance, etc., are constantly exchanged. Information transparency. So you have the big data analytics where, you know, all the information is available, and the data is crunched and turned into information on which decisions can be based. Technical assistance, so you have artificial intelligence and machine learning, so which actually will take decisions based on the past experience and the machine learning. So it can quickly diagnose areas where there are any issues. Decentralized decisions, because again, once you know you have the information and you have the artificial intelligence and machine learning, the decisions can come without waiting for a centralized decision. So what are the indicative features of Industry 4? Big data analytics in smart factories. So you are constantly churning out a lot of data in terms of production, materials, markets, customers, etc., and you are processing this data into informations on which useful decisions can be made. IoT in small factories, smart factories. So Internet of Things, where the machines talk to each other. There are robots which communicate, which collaborate with each other. So even something is likely to go wrong, you know, this is actually triggered. It's more predictive in nature. AI and machine learning, it's smart factories. So, you know, more and more artificial intelligence and machine learning is there. So, the systems actually learn as they go along, and they take care of a lot of, you know, issues, interruptions, disruptions. They can predict it and they can take appropriate steps. Predictive analytics, so where you are able to predict certain events based on the patterns which are recognized by the AI and the machine learning systems. So, outsourcing strategy, FMCG case study on the benefits. So, save cost. We already took the example of FMCG when we talked about the toothpaste, etc. Free resources and focus on strategy. We also saw this in the Apple example of iPhone, etc. So, you are not actually, you know, using your resources on, you know, manufacture of the item. You are basically using your resources on design of the product, as we saw even in the case of Nike, etc. Make growth process run smoothly. So, you are focusing more on marketing and promotion of your product rather than spending your energies on manufacturing it, which you get it done through outsourcing partners. Maintain your core competency. Again, I don't need to explain this. Start new projects quickly. So, you are constantly working on your next product rather than, you know, dwelling on what currently is selling or your current successes. Gain access to world-class capabilities. So, constantly you are looking at new outsourcing partners, having the cutting-edge technology and having innovative solutions, innovative products, rather than living with your own capabilities and obsolescence of technology. Reduce operational risks. So, because you are not making investments, so you do not have any operational risk. You can change the design, look for new outsourcing partners, and you can launch a new product within a very, very short time. Avail resources not available internally. So, you don't need to really have high technology, very skilled people. You can actually outsource it to the experts in the subject. So, if you want to make an electric car, you don't really need experts on electric batteries or the lithium ion battery kind of a thing. There are experts who will do it for you, and that is the benefit that you have. So, with that, we come to the end of this chapter and the topic. Thank you very much.